privilege and a interesting responsibility too. So Father, I just come to you right now and just present this body an empty vessel for you, and just ask Father that you would please fill it with you. Let there be none of me. Let it be all your heart, all your thoughts, all your words. And just touch us, Father, with the message that you want to bring tonight. In Jesus' name. We are going to talk about the royal wedding to start. But before we do that, if you wouldn't mind, just open to Matthew 22, verse 36 through 40. Father, please bless the risen. And it says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I guess this message was born out of the royal wedding to some degree. And I guess I just want to start out with what I learned from that wedding. Three things. That each and every one of you here is amazingly valuable in God's plan. And secondly, every one of you is so needed in God's plan. And number three, in some ways, you all are the most valuable people on the planet. On the face of this earth, you are the most valuable people. And I say that for one reason, because it's true. But a lot of people were making a big buzz about this royal wedding. And normally they're kind of stodgy affairs, but you may have heard there was a bishop from the Anglican Church, I guess it was, from America over here. His name was Bishop Curry. Thank you. Thank you, Tom. Bishop Curry. And he gave an amazing message over there at that royal wedding that absolutely stunned everybody. He talked about these verses about the first and great commandment is to love God and then love others. And it was very interesting because he said, like, love, or he talked about the love of God was like 55 or 60 times, I think it was. And what they did on YouTube, and everybody's making a buzz about this. I had somebody say, oh, you got to look at the royal wedding. I don't like the royal weddings. That's dull. That's boring. I mean, yeah, that's. And I called up my buddy in Baltimore, and they said, yeah, my wife and I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning to watch the royal wedding. And I said, what is going on here? Why is that so interesting? You know, those things are dull and boring. And I guess it wasn't. But anyway, this bishop got up, and he talked about the love of God like 60 times. And it was interesting. They panned the audience, and it wasn't so much that they were spellbound. They just did not know what to do with this message. I mean, some people there were fidgeting, you know, the queen was fidgeting, and other people were looking around like, what's going on? And there was this one very famous entertainer, I guess I was almost thinking about using his name, because I know every time Pastor uses a famous entertainer, he always gets checked by the Holy Spirit, and then he gets to pray for him, and then he gets saved, and maybe I should do the same here. But anyway, he's a very, very famous singer, probably worth $1 billion. And he was just sitting there the whole time when this man was talking about love, just with that frown on his face. And here's a guy who's got all the success in the world. He's very charitable, too. He does all these benefit concerts for everybody. And it's like, wow. And he's hearing about the one thing. And I looked at that, and I said, these people out there, they don't have a clue about the simplest thing in the Bible about God's love. And I was shocked. I want to say, what are they hearing in church? I mean, you know, somebody in the, I think Linda Kuhn was saying, you know, that sounded just like a message that you would preach, Pastor. You know, because, I mean, we're used to hearing about the love of God. It seemed like that's all I ever talk about when I get up here is the love of God. And, like, they were stupefied. And I just could not understand what was going on. And I thought about that. And I said, you are the most valuable people on the face of this earth. And the reason is because you can love people with the love of God. All those people in that audience, they had nothing but human love. And we all know human love. We've all had enough of that probably because it's conditional, superficial, weak. It gives out really, really easily. But every one of you here can love people with the love of God and change their lives. And you're the most valuable people. And, you know, it's easy. It's easy to think about, well, we're supposed to love other people. But I thought to myself, well, why are we supposed to love God? I mean, yeah, I know we kind of should because he created us and he loves us and everything, but why should we love God? And I just kind of had that go through my mind one time, and all of a sudden, boom, like instantaneously, it's like that voice said, so that you can get to know for yourself what perfect love is. So you can get to know for yourself what perfect love is, not human love, perfect love. And I said, wow. And then we can love all the other people out there with the perfect love that they need to be loved with to make that kind of a difference in their life because they just do not know that. I was really amazed. I thought everybody would be smiling and cheerful when they heard about the love of God, and they just were not. So anyway, and if you don't think God loves you, can we just go, one of the things that this man brought up was Song of Solomon, naturally, at a wedding, he's always going to bring that up. But would you just go through me with some verses here, just if you're a note taker, just to take these verses down. And even if you're not, just please try to meditate on them. I mean, these are some of the most amazing verses about God's love for us. And they're in Song of Solomon. And the first one is in chapter 4, verse 9. And it says, thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. Do you realize that when you just look into the eyes of God, that you ravish his heart? I mean, isn't that kind of amazing that you, all of us little creatures here, when you just look into the eyes of God, you ravish his heart. He's transported. That's like one of those things, like I'm just transported. Song of Solomon 6:5. It says, turn thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Again, when you just look into the eyes of God, you overcome him because his love for us is so intense. Song of Solomon chapter 7, verse 5. The B part says that the king is held in the galleries. And that word held is literally enslaved. When we look at him, he is literally enslaved because of how much love that he loves us with. It's like we hold him captive. It's like we know we talk about in 2 Corinthians 5:14, I think it is, about being constrained by the love of Christ. He's constrained by us. And I thought that's so amazing. So if you don't think God loves you, wow. But see, in our natural state, we don't love people. I mean, you know, Mark 8:24 says, I see men as trees walking. When Jesus healed the blind man, he did it in two steps. The first was to give him his physical sight back, and that's all he saw. He says, I see men as trees walking. That's in our natural. That's all we see. Men and women out there, it's just trees walking. And I thought to myself, well, maybe that's one good time to be a tree hugger, that we can hug all those trees walking out there. Maybe that's the one time where that's okay, but you know, that's, you know, we got to see him more than that. But in the natural state, we just don't like people. So we need that love of God to make a difference in their lives. And, you know, and I understand that, because I got to tell you a couple examples about some people, you know, some of these things that happened to me. And I got to bring up Ron's example, because, you know, how do people think God views them? I remember when I first came in here, Ron had this really cute thing about, like, I don't know if it was like from his old days at a certain denomination or whatever, but a lot of people have the idea that God is some big ogre in the sky. And he's just in Ron. I remember Ron went, and he's just waiting there to take our heads and go squish, 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 squish every time we go do something bad. You know, and that's the way a lot of people feel. And I was at my old church, and there was this one lady who's, you know, it was a boring, kind of a boring sermon, and this one lady had a child who was acting up. And, you know, she looks over at him and said, "Now be good, Johnny. God is watching you." And I thought to myself, oh, please don't say it like that. You know, can you imagine what that kid's opinion of God is when, you know, he's doing something bad and the mom says that to him? He's going to think, oh, no, I can't do anything wrong. I'll never be, you know. And I said, please, God is watching you because he's enthralled with you. That's why he's watching you, because he can't take his eyes off you. You know, you're made in his image. You're the very image of God. And that's why he can't take his eyes off you. And I just think that love is, you know, there's, it was interesting. I got to, if you don't think that just love might be enough to help people, I'm going to pick on Teresa. Like Pastor says, it's always, if you sit in the front row, you get picked on, you know. There's one little, cute little girl in this body here. And she's had kind of a tough time at school, got bullied a little bit, and she's been going through some tough times with her family. And every once in a while, she'll run through that door, and she'll just come right up to Teresa and just give her the biggest hug. And Teresa will give her the hug back. And that is such a precious thing. Now, that kid, all that kid's going through, just to know that she's got a safe zone here, just to know that she's got somebody to love her, just a simple act like that, that's, you know, that might make all the difference for her, that little girl in her life, to know she's got that. And I got to pick on Michelle Fitch, even though she's not right in the front row here. We were out in outreach on Saturday, and Dennis isn't here, so I'll pick on him. But Dennis's kid, little cute little Aniko, beautiful little girl, almost 3 years old, with little beautiful blonde curls, and she is like your typical three-year-old. She just will not mind, and she just wanted to do what she wanted to do on that Saturday. And you know, I don't know how many miles, you know, we walked in the outreach, probably only a quarter of a mile or something like that, but Michelle was chasing down Annika like every single place that girl in. But oh, she had to go into the fountain and pick up the stones and throw the stones. She had to go into the bushes and investigate the bushes. She had to go into that puddle and make a mess. And it was just so funny to see Michelle, because every time Annika was out there over the place, it's like, where's Michelle? She's chasing Annika. Where's Michelle? She's over there chasing Annika. She must have put on 15 miles on her shoes that one day just chasing Annika. And why? Because of love. Just a simple act like that, just because of love, because she didn't want Aniko to run out in the street or to get lost in a pond. I mean, so many things can happen in a kid so quickly. And it was just so beautiful to see your love. And, you know, and that's the way God is. I just thought to myself, that's the way we are sometimes. We're these wayward people that, you know, we want to do what we want to do. And God's chasing after us. God's chasing after us because he loves us. He doesn't want us to play in places where we shouldn't play. And I just had to bring that out because it was such a beautiful picture, Michelle. So thank you for doing that. And, you know, I got to say also, too, if you don't think you're valuable sometimes, Remo and I went up to this one guy and his, I don't know, girlfriend, wife, whatever it might have been. And he was just not receptive at all. You know, he said, no, thank you. And then Remo tried to talk a little bit and says, no, thank you. You know, it's just like one of these things. And it's like, well, thank you. And after about like the third thank you, well, we kind of got the, okay, that's not it. But you know, that person, even though he's kind of, you know, and in my flesh, I was like, you know, I really wanted, it's like, I didn't have love for that man, but I tried not to be that way. But anyway, you know, that man, even though he was, he might just be the luckiest man there today, because Ramos' prayer for him might just make all the difference in his life. So even if somebody snubs you, Ramos' prayer for him might change his life. It might just open up his heart enough to do that. So if you don't think like, wow, you know, because one of the things that, you know, like, I was talking to Paul Sickles the other day too, and I said, Paul, you know, we really appreciate what you're doing in the body here. And, you know, not really many people know what you're doing or anything like that. And he said, yeah, I'm kind of a behind the scenes kind of a person. But by serving the body, you know, we are Christ. I mean, we're the body of Christ. So if we love people in the body, even if it's behind the scenes, we're loving God. We're serving people. So we don't have to be up front. You know, I mean, I've got the microphone now, but somebody working in the back there is just as valuable if it's done with love as it is with somebody up here. You know, so all the people that are working in the nursery and everything, I mean, wow, what a labor of love they have. And you know, I thought to myself, this word came up about David in my Bible. It's a Scofield Bible that Pastor Handel and his wife gave to me. And it talked about David. And it talked about how he was basically kind of a reckless king. I mean, he just did things that were a mess, basically, sometimes. And the little footnote said something about that only God's love could tame him. And that word kind of stuck in my head. It's like he tamed David with his love. And I thought about some of these other examples of people. How about Peter? He went from cursing and denying the Lord himself after walking with him for how many years? He just cursed him, and you know, and then a little maiden too, you know, aren't you the one with Jesus? And he says, no, I mean, just a little maiden could make him curse and deny him. But then what does he do? Because of God's love, he ends up on a cross, not even wanting to be hung right side up. You know, that the story has it that he wanted to be crucified upside down because he didn't feel like he was worthy of the Lord. Or how about James and John, Luke 9:54, you know, the sons of thunder or whatever. They wanted to call down fire on people because they, you know, because the Lord wasn't accepted in a certain town. You know, they go from being that kind of a spirit to being like John, the apostle of love. And how about Saul? You know, we know that he was breathing out threatenings and murders. And I wish you could have heard Pastor Moore on radio one day when he was saying that, because he said, I'm going to get him. I'm going to get him. We're going to get these guys. We're going to throw them in jail. We're going to get them. And it was really funny. I mean, that's what Paul was doing, or Saul was doing. And then when God's love got a hold of him, he was saying, I wish I could be accursed from Christ, that my brethren could be in heaven. You know, he was saying, in essence, I wish I could go to hell if it would mean that my brethren, my people in Israel could be, if I didn't say that right after that, I wish I could go to hell if my brethren could be in heaven. I mean, he went from wanting to kill them to actually wanting to exchange places with those people so that they could be in heaven. He says, I'll go to hell if they could go to heaven. They tamed him. That's what God's love does. It tames us. So if you think about all these people out there that are just wild, this and that, I mean, and I guess like, you know, the people of ISIS today, that'd be like how Saul was back then, you know, just breathing out threatenings and murder. So if you don't think somebody like that can be tamed, God's love could even tame all the ISIS people if they got old. It's like, wow, there's nobody beyond the reach of God's love. No one. Oh, there's one more thing I just want to bring up. Only have a few minutes here. I want to read you something here. And this is from Watchman Nee's book about the release of the Spirit. And in there he talks about how God, what he wants more than anything else is to have that fleshly outward man that we all have just completely shattered and broken by God, so that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit within us, can be released completely and freely without any of the tainting of our old man. So it's just a pure, pure release of the Holy Spirit. And I want to read you this. This is a beautiful piece. And this is just a guy. He's a miner. You know, I don't know if he was mining coal or whatever. It said, a miner greatly used by God wrote a book called Seen and Heard, in which he relates his experiences in preaching the gospel. We were deeply touched by reading his book. Just an ordinary brother, neither highly educated nor especially gifted, he offered himself wholly to the Lord and was mightily used. The one thing that characterized him was that he was a broken man, allowing his spirit to emerge easily. While in a meeting and listening to a preacher, he was so burdened for souls that he asked the preacher for permission to speak. He went to the pulpit, but no words came. His inner man was so burning with a passion for souls that his tears gushed forth in torrents. In all, he managed to utter just a few incoherent sentences. Yet God's Spirit filled that meeting place, and people were convicted of their sins and their fallen condition. Here was a young man who was broken. He had few words, but when his spirit came forth, people were mightily moved. He was instrumental for saving many during his lifetime. And I love the way he says this after. He says, this is the way to preach the gospel. Wow. Yeah. And I just want to bring one thing up, because Patrick's here in the front row, and we're picking on Patrick. If you happen to see his testimony about his mom on Mother's Day, he got up here, and he had a whole bunch of notes. And if you look at this, I got page after page after page of notes. Everything's exegeted. There's Greek words, pronunciations, this and that. And Patrick showed me that he had that after. He had these like a dozen verses written out that he wanted to say about his mom. He got up here, and after about 3 minutes, he just said, you know, it was like 3 minutes or whatever, but he broke. He just was in tears because of one thing his mom said to him. It said, you know, the joy of my life was my children. And he just broke. And then he sang a song. He had note after note after note he showed me, but just that one few minutes up here where he was broken with love, that spoke more to me than all those verses that he had written down in his notebook. So, like I say, that's what God wants, just to break these hard outward men that we have, just break that shell so that his pure spirit, that loving spirit, can come out. Because when we get that loving spirit coming out of us, it'll go right to that other person's spirit that's unsaved. And it can literally, it'll touch them, bring them to their knees. So that's what God desires, just to... So all the things that you're going through right now, many, many times, it's just to break that outward man so that treasure and earthen vessel can just come out purely. It's that theatric action about the God's nature coming through us to other people without the interference of our old sin nature. And that's why God gave us the cross, so that old nature could be totally crucified. And it's just the Holy Spirit being given to everybody, because he's the spirit is pure love, the spirit that can penetrate people's hearts. And that's what we want to do. So Father, thank you so much that you have given us the cross, that our old unloving and hardened natures can be crucified with you, and that your pure Holy Spirit, with his perfect, pure love, can gush out of us freely and touch those people that are so, so needy, Father. And for that one entertainer that I spoke of, Father, I just want to pray, Father, that you would touch him with your love, that you would just touch him with your love, right in his spirit, Father, right wherever he is, and draw him into your kingdom. And if you're out there today, if you're listening, if this is being recorded, if you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Savior, please, I just plead with you to do that. Just, he loves you so desperately that he is overcome and enthralled with you. but he's also a holy God. And that's why he sent his son Jesus to die and pay for your sins so that you can come boldly to his throne and just say, Jesus, I'm a sinner, but save me. I believe you love me. Come into my heart. Cleanse me of all the sins. Make me a child of God. Give me that eternity in heaven with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.